Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Human Geo in 20 Minutes. I'm your host, Mr. Linder, recording from the home studio today as it's a snow day. But at 1:54 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, looking out of my window, I see some rain. So once again, thank you to Loudoun County for your inability to handle anything that might possibly be slick on the roads. So we're going to be talking about religion and ethnicity today. So I'm just going to be going off the study guide as always. main thing I'm going to be focusing on today is the world's five major religions. And so we're going to go in chronological order. That means we'll be going Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. Like the study guide said, we're going to be covering beliefs, geography, founders, time periods, diffusion, architecture, different branches, and whether it's ethnic or universalizing. So with Hinduism, the oldest of the five major world religions, some beliefs here, we're talking about things like reincarnation. So once you die, your soul is reincarnated into a new life form. That can be as a human, or it can be as another living thing, such as an animal, depending on your karma. So like the good stuff versus the bad stuff that you did during your previous life, that's where, you know, will you move up to a better life, or will you sink to a lower station? That's where we also get the caste system, which is a social hierarchy, with priests at the top, and, you know, warriors, and down to merchants. And then at the very, very bottom is untouchables. Because of the mistreatment by untouchables in India, the caste system was outlawed. Although it is largely been eradicated, especially in southern India, it still very much plays a part in society in northern India. Some other beliefs, you got the major holiday of Diwali. It's a polytheistic religion, so multiple gods. In certain cases, depending on how it's viewed, you could view it as multiple iterations of one god. But for our intents and purposes, we understand Hinduism as a polytheistic religion, multiple gods. There are over 1,000 gods, so you do not need to accept all of them. They are often tied to your caste, to your geography, to the region of the country that you're from. So most people do not worship all of the gods. Geographically, the hearth of Hinduism is the Indus River Valley, northern India. And for the most part, that is where Hinduism stayed. It spread throughout the Indian subcontinent. But close to 99% of the world's Hindus today are located in India. Holy texts, we've got the Vedas, which are epic poems. Diffusion-wise, again, for the most part, you just have contagious or relocation diffusion throughout the Indian subcontinent. It is an ethnic religion, so it is tied very, very closely to being Indian. And it's tied with that geography of being in and around India. Architecture, you've got temples and shrines that some people will make pilgrimages to. And for the most part, that is Hinduism. Let me go to Judaism. Judaism was unique for its time in that it was the first monotheistic religion. So one God, in this case, Yahweh. Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham, who is from the city of Ur in Mesopotamia, or the Fertile Crescent. He appointed all of Abraham's descendants, including his sons Isaac and Ishmael, both from different women, to be his chosen people. And so the line, according to Jewish tradition, the line that extended from Isaac is the line of God's chosen people. Again, there's one God. We've also got the Ten Commandments, which make up the main part of the Old Testament Hebrew law. And the promised land was given to the Hebrews by God. That land is considered Judea and Canaan. So the modern day state of Israel is where the hearth of Judaism is today. But the historical hearth, we just refer to that as the Fertile Crescent. Some other important people, you've got Moses, who got the Ten Commandments from God and led the Israelites out of Egypt and their exodus from there when they crossed the Red Sea. Again, diffusion for the most part stayed within the Middle East. However, during the Roman Empire, you had the Jewish diaspora that spread many Jewish people throughout the Roman Empire, so throughout much of Europe. Jewish people can continue to spread throughout much of Europe. But then after the horrors of the Holocaust, you had a lot of Jewish people that moved back to the Middle East, back to the country that would become Israel, and also a big percentage that moved to the United States. You've got somewhere around 33% of the world's Jewish people that live in the United States, many of them in New York City. Architecturally, the main, first of all, the main holy site where many Jews go to pray is in Jerusalem. It's the old temple. There's one wall that's left, the Western Wall or Wailing Wall of Solomon's Temple. But in general, the Jewish place of prayer and worship is the synagogue or temple. Judaism, like Hinduism, is an ethnic religion. It is very is tied very closely to being from that region, from Canaan, from modern day Israel. And so it would be considered an ethnic religion. Unlike Hinduism, which I forgot to mention with Hinduism, generally people are cremated and their ashes are spread into the Ganges River so they can be reincarnated. With Judaism, most people are buried in cemeteries. Then we get to Buddhism. So the founder of Buddhism is Siddhartha Gautama. He helped, or he ended up becoming the Buddha once he left his palace because he saw a suffering man, an old man, and a dying man. From that point, he became an ascetic. Then he found what he would call the middle way, kind of like a balance between not seeking too much and yet not giving up everything. And from that, he created the Four Noble Truths. So all life is suffering. Suffering comes from desire. To end desire, we reach nirvana. And to reach nirvana, you need to follow the Eightfold Path, which is just a general way to live your life similar to the Ten Commandments. Buddhism started in northern India and southern Nepal, but there are very, very few Buddhists left in northern India and southern Nepal. For the most part, Buddhism spread east and southeast, so it spread to places like China, the Koreas, Japan, Thailand, Cambodia, Burma, and places like that. Ashoka the Great was helpful in spreading Buddhism. You've also got the Dalai Lama, who is supposed to be, a reincarnation of the Buddha. There are three different branches within Buddhism. We don't really need to know those. The holy sites, though, architecture. So you have shrines to the Buddha, statues to the Buddha, but you've also got pagodas, stupas, and shrines for worshiping. It is a universalizing religion, and it's not mono or polytheistic. Buddha is not considered a god, so it does actually allow you to follow other religions at the same time. But it is, so it is a universalizing religion. Then we've got Christianity. Within Christianity, you have a belief in the afterlife. There is a heaven or hell, and a belief in Jesus will get you into heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. Even though Christianity is considered monotheistic, you have basically three iterations of the same deity. So you have God, the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who was left after Jesus was crucified and died. Geographically, the hearth of Christianity is Jerusalem, is the Middle East, where Jesus did most of his proselytizing. From there, though, it spread throughout the Roman Empire. It spread into Europe, sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, Australia, North and South America. It is the largest religion in the world today. Other than Jesus and his 12 apostles, you did have people like Paul that helped spread Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. You eventually have the Pope, the leader of the Catholic Church. You've got Martin Luther, the leader of the Protestant Church. It diffused in a couple different ways. It diffused again with Paul, with relocation diffusion and contagious diffusion throughout the Roman Empire. And it definitely diffused with hierarchical diffusion with colonialism and imperialism by European countries. Architecturally, the church is the place of worship. Oftentimes, it's called a cathedral in Catholicism. With branches, three major branches of Christianity. You've got Roman Catholic. Then you had the Great Schism, which created the Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox churches, and then finally you've got the Protestant Reformation, which created the Protestant Church. Beneath the Protestant Church, however, we then have denominations. So it's a smaller part of a branch. So within the Protestant branch, you have denominations like Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Methodist, Baptist, And then beneath that, you have something called a sect, which would be a breakaway church from a denomination. Christianity is a universalizing church. They use missionaries to try to spread the faith. I think that about covers Christianity. With Catholics, generally it's burial. Buddhism is mainly cremation, like Hinduism. With Christianity, though, however, again, with Catholicism, it's mainly burial. With other forms of Christianity, other branches, mainly Protestant branches, cremation is something that is allowed. And finally, we have Islam. Islam is the youngest of the world's major religions. So beliefs, first of all, you have the prophet Muhammad, who is God's final prophet. It is an Abrahamic faith, just like Judaism and Christianity. But in this case, though, many people of Islamic faith tie their faith back to Abraham's son, Ishmael, who was of his, depending on your interpretation, his wife or his servant, Hagar. With Islam, you've got the five pillars. So there is no God but Allah. So it's a monotheistic religion. Giving to the poor, fasting during the month of Ramadan. You've also got the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca, and then the prayer five times a day. Speaking of Mecca, it is the hearth of Islam, the Arabian Peninsula. You've got the three Abrahamic faiths that originated in the Middle East, and then you've got the two more Eastern religions of Hinduism and Buddhism that originated in northern India. Back to Islam, however, it diffused largely to North Africa, to parts of Southern Europe, and then definitely to South and Southeast Asia. We have to remember that even though Islam is largely tied to the Middle East and North Africa and those Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Syria and Iraq and Iran and places like that, the four largest Muslim countries in terms of total population are Indonesia, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. Architecturally, the holy place is the mosque. You've got several important mosques around the world, including the Grand Mosque in Mecca, where the Kaaba is located. Within the mosque, you've got prayer towers, really, really tall, kind of skinny towers that are known as minarets, where the prayer is usually kind of sung from every or five times a day. It is a universalizing religion, so it can appeal to people of all different ethnic backgrounds. And then finally, branches, two major branches, Sunni, which is about 83% of all Muslims, and Shiite, which is about 17% of all Muslims. Most Shiites are in Iran, but there's also a big population in Iraq, Yemen, Lebanon, and Syria. I think that's all that I've got for those five major religions. I'm sure there's stuff I'm leaving off. Oh, I know there's going to be some stuff about Jewish holidays that pop up on the test. So we've got, you know, Hanukkah, which is right around, you know, kind of Christmas time in December. You've got Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Those two holidays are very close to one another time-wise. And then you've got Passover, which is to celebrate the angel of death passing over the Jewish people in Egypt. So I'm sure there's some stuff I left off, but hopefully that gets to most of it. One last thing with Islam. So Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. We've got some other ethnic religions. We talked about Taoism and Confucianism, both of which originated in China, Shintoism, which originated in Japan. As always, there will be regions and types of diffusion going along with this. So make sure we understand the differences between relocation and expansion diffusion. And again, under expansion diffusion, we've got our three subtypes of contagious, hierarchical, and stimulus. Of course, know that the hearth is where everything starts. So understand, where hearths are for these different religions and different ethnic groups as well. Ethnocentrism is the idea that your ethnic group, your belief that your ethnic group is better than others. It's a very kind of selfish way to look at your culture as better than other cultures, oftentimes out of ignorance because we just don't understand other cultures or choose not to understand other cultures. We looked at several ethnic conflicts, and unfortunately, there are so many examples around the world of ethnic conflicts. I do have a list on here. The main reason why we did this activity was so that you guys can have some examples to draw back on. Excuse me. If you're ever asked about them on the AP test or in an FRQ. But real quickly, just to kind of go over some of the ethnic conflicts that are on the study guide. In Rwanda in 1994, you had an ethnic conflict between the Hutus, who were the majority in Rwanda, and the Tutsis, who were the minority. This stemmed back all the way to some conflicts they had when the Belgians were running the country. The Hutus tried to wipe out the Tutsis. About 1 million people were killed in 100 days, and largely with machetes. So it was a very, very brutal, very, very bloody conflict. In South Africa, you've had separation of the races since the independence of South Africa in the early 1900s. That was legally written into law in South Africa in the form of something called apartheid, which literally means apartness or a separation of black and white South Africans. Within Ireland, so the country or the island of Ireland has two countries on it, the country of Ireland and the country of Northern Ireland, which is technically a part of the United Kingdom. Ireland is like 95% Catholic. Northern Ireland is about 67% Protestant and about 33% Catholic. So in Northern Ireland, especially in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, you had a lot of violence between extremist groups that were Catholic and Protestant that were fighting each other. There were car bombs, there were school bombings and things like that. And it was a really, really violent time. Within Afghanistan, the Taliban was pretty much against everybody. Anything that was Western, anything that related to America at all, Afghanistan was, the Taliban was against it. Music, movies, the liberation of women, all that sort of thing. The Taliban ended up harboring Al-Qaeda, which, you know, backfired on them as the U.S. eventually, you know, invaded Afghanistan and took them out of power. The Taliban still exists, but they have a much more reduced role than what they had 15 or 20 years ago. With India and Pakistan, once India got its independence from Great Britain in 1947, immediately the country split. So you had India, which became majority Hindu, and Pakistan, which became majority Muslim. But as the two countries separated, there was violence that broke out between the two groups as they literally passed each other on the road. That violence persists to this day. There's been something like 7 wars between India and Pakistan. Both of them have nuclear weapons. In the northern part of India, there is a disputed zone called Kashmir, which is technically controlled by India, but there it's kind of a 50-50 split, Muslim and Hindu. And there's lots of accusations by the Pakistanis that the Indian government has kind of persecuted the Muslim population there. And so that is very much a conflict zone still in the world today. Bosnia, Kosovo, and Yugoslavia. So about for like 40 years after World War II, you had this country, Yugoslavia, which roughly translates to land of the Slavs. All these Slavic peoples, Croatians, Serbians, Bosnians, Croats, all within one country. Once their dictator died, Yugoslavia started to fall apart and it fell into multiple ethnic conflicts. Examples of ethnic cleansing occurred in Bosnia and Serbia between different European groups there that had, you know, different religious beliefs. Then again, between the Serbs and Bosnian Albanians in Kosovo. It's the first time then that NATO warships were actually used, NATO planes were actually used in bombing the Serbian forces there to stop the ethnic conflict. President Clinton helped orchestrate that. So there's ethnic cleansing that happened there. Currently in Syria, you've got a dictator, Bashar Assad, who when uprisings occurred against his government in 2011, kind of used that excuse to help start a civil war. This civil war has displaced millions of Syrians, as many of them have fled into Europe. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. Millions have been displaced within their own country. And it also created a power vacuum, which allowed ISIS to operate for a number of years within within Syria and Iraq. And then recently we looked at the country of Myanmar or Burma, which is a majority Buddhist country and is under military rule. And that military has taken upon itself a form of ethnic cleansing by removing and killing a minority group called the Rohingya, who are Muslims, removing them out of Burma. So that's just a unfortunate taste of some of the ethnic conflicts that have happened recently or are still going on today. Lastly, please make sure you look over that map of the religious groups in the United States. It's definitely going to be important for you guys to understand why Mormons, Lutherans, and Baptists are where they are, why some of them like authority, why some of them don't. But those three groups, Mormons, Lutherans, and Baptists, are going to be the most important for you guys to study. So there we go. We hit the 20-minute mark. I hope you guys are enjoying your snow day. Please make sure you study. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.